Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Man, feisty today.
Feisty.
I'm not sure what the deal is.
Something in the air.
Yeah. Man, when it's cold and rainy and shitty, like this morning was,
yeah.
Like it just, I don't.
It's quite the storm last night.
I don't believe in the seasonal sadness bullshit. I think it's mind over matter. But man, when it's gloomy, I am a little like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Then the sun came out, it felt pretty good.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. It's a good balance.
Yeah, it's a good balance. I saw you went on a swinger trip this weekend.
Swinger trip.
Another swinger trip. How was it?
Yeah, right. No, we went with some other local business owners
here in town. All I saw was two couples.
Yeah. They own KC Floorworks.
Coincidence. Okay.
So,
swinger trip.
Went to see Riley Green in Ridgedale, Missouri at the amphitheater down there, which I had no clue what we were getting into. It's the Nature Center Outdoor Amphitheater or something like that.
Where was it at?
It in Ridgedale, which is 10 minutes from Branson. And the amphitheater is built by the guy that owns Bass Pro. And so the entire amphitheater, it's got all these big buildings in the back of it that look like hunting lodges, mounts everywhere, cool old, you know, Western-looking barns.
The cool part was
it was called Bulls, Bants, and Barrels. And it's like a circuit that they do. Well, so there's a rodeo.
Okay.
It's all outdoors, and there's a rodeo in the beginning of it.
Oh, nice.
And then
I do like a good rodeo.
And then after the rodeo's over, Craig Morgan and Riley Green played.
I don't know who Riley Green is.
You don't need to know, but you also don't need your wife to know. Because he is country music's most eligible bachelor.
I want to argue, but I don't know. I just don't follow country music enough to know who the fuck you're talking about. Or, to be honest, any of them. I would think Morgan Wallen's the most eligible bachelor.
I say that
because he's rich as fuck.
Yeah.
And let's be honest.
Money trumps everything else, right?
But, well, it seems to, and man, I'm going to sound sexist as fuck. In the women's
country.
World,
yeah.
Yeah. I've been to Whiskey Tangos, like when there's just some shitty bands playing.
Yeah.
And I mean, those sluts are all over it.
Yeah.
It's just from what I've seen personally. That's all. I don't know if it's a fact, but that's so, where my mind wants to go.
So Morgan Wallen is definitely more successful than Riley Green. However,
tell me a Riley Green song. Like, what would I know?
Excuse me. You look like you love me.
That's not him.
Yeah.
Well, that girl wrote that song.
Ella Langley.
Yeah, Ella Langley.
But that's one of his songs.
Oh, he guests on that. That's not his song. That's her song.
I don't know if that's her song that he guests on or their song.
I only know that because Janine likes that song.
Yeah.
Give me something else. You just went to the show. You got nothing?
No.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
It looks bad.
Yeah. I'm
I thought you would come up with something great.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not a Riley Green fan. I thought that would go. I mean, I'm not a fan, but like.
I see. Swinger weekend, that's what was going on. You went.
No.
Got it. Understood. Hey, dude, it's okay.
It was originally just supposed to be Danielle and I, and then we were like, hey, let's see if others want to join too. And so we.
That's how swinger parties start.
No.
I'm not making this stuff up.
We decided to invite Joe and Kirsten so we could get in some golf and some other stuff.
Kirsten.
So.
I don't know her. I know him. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
They're both cool.
Met him at the, he came to the event.
Yeah.
Super nice guy.
Yeah. We'll be tied up with them in the shootout too. That's who we.
On a boat.
You're just teeing them up. What am I supposed to do? I'm probably going to have him. I can't decide. You know my barn.
Mm-hmm.
I have like that one little section between the bathrooms and my office where the Camaro's at now. Mm-hmm. I've moved the boat and all my tools are there. I'm thinking about having an epoxy checkered floor put down.
I know what you need instead of epoxy checker.
I like the little rubber deals that snap together.
Mm-hmm.
But
the ones in Aristocrat, the new Aristocrat detailing location in Kansas, they have whole showroom with those.
Are they the hard? They're not like super hard, but they're...
No, they're hard. Like they drive cars on them and turn tires on them and they don't break up.
I know what you're
up,
talking about.
But they're not solid mats. They're like
cross-hatched. No, they lock together. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're like a cross-hatched plastic.
Once they go together, they apparently don't come apart.
So they put weed mat down underneath it to make your concrete black. And then they put those mats down.
Oh, gotcha.
And so it looks like a black or
I wonder
black
what that
floor.
Costs.
I don't know.
Let me ask you about them. So I've been thinking about getting the Camaro coated again.
Mm-hmm.
Do the two same kids still run that? Because I ever see is the bigger guy now.
Yeah, they split. They're still like, they didn't split like friendship or anything else. They split their location into two locations.
Jesse
does the Missouri location and Connor does the Kansas location.
And they don't share profit. They just run it under Aristocrat.
Run it under, yeah. Same,
gotcha.
Same brand, but they each have their own store now.
Gotcha.
So, and okay. I think where that came from was like Connor wanted to do a little bit more promotion, a little bit more growing, and Jesse was kind of just cool
having
riding
one
where
man
it was.
Show deal. Yeah.
And so they were like, well, let's, like, everybody wins. You start up another location and you can promote and grow all you want.
Does he live by his location in Kansas?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a little more sense.
Yep.
I thought maybe they just split completely and moved, but I've been out of the loop for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I literally had the car out last week. Yeah, last week, and washed it all and put it away and everything.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, it's probably time to go ahead and get that coated. I need to.
I'm going to text Emily and have her.
Her and I are friends on Facebook now. She actually reached out to me. That's been like a week ago. I mean, I am the most eligible podcast bachelor. except I'm married. You know, other than that, I saw you were on their podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, they're firing up a podcast and they just wanted to, they're
yeah.
just rolling I'll
probably
through
try
guests.
To, I'll probably just try to check one out. Is it rough? Is it good?
That's all right.
It's all right.
Our episode was a little rough because they're new to it and their cameras were overheating.
Oh.
And so we had to stop quite
a
bit.
Well, and you had two women on it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm sexist comments today. So I don't mean
you're
to be
all about it.
I don't. It's just coming out. I don't know what's going on.
So we were in Ridgedale all weekend, right?
Yeah. And Swingers Convention. Yes.
No.
You want to borrow my pink straw? I did see I did see you wearing a pineapple shirt the other day.
I don't own a pineapple shirt.
Hey, whatever.
Hey, boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started Tradewinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
And so we get home Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, and we're like wiped because I don't think we've drank.
Oh, did you put them down?
Well, we didn't drive. Like, we rode down there with them.
Oh, man.
So I didn't have to drive anywhere.
You were canned.
Well, yeah. 8:30 in the morning when you wake up, it's like, I've definitely drank more in my life, but I haven't drank for that long.
In a while.
I mean, it was all day Saturday
and
all day Sunday.
Yeah.
Like all the drive home.
What were you having?
We went
rum
to
and Cokes or
we
beers?
Went to everything.
Oh, that's the problem.
We were having quirks. I was having like everything.
Too much carbonation.
John Daly's.
Oh, yeah.
They had those on the course, so we were pounding those.
Guys played golf?
Yeah. Yeah, we did Top of the Rock.
First par three. That is a great course. It's expensive.
Yeah, it was $200 for 9 holes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
the scenery is beautiful, and that
nice
sinkhole that opened up is really cool to watch the progress with that.
Yeah.
There's like a whole bunch of slot canyons under that course that nobody knew were there until the sinkhole opened up.
Yeah.
And so now they're like incorporating it into all of that. But
Yeah, we came home Sunday and we were like Danielle went up to bed. I crashed on the couch. Like we were wiped. So then go to bed
just
Sunday night.
Straight to sleep.
Yeah, go to bed Sunday night and I do my normal gummy before bed like always. And I wake up in the middle of the night and I got to pee. And I'm like high as balls, right? And so I go into the bathroom to go pee and I step on the rug in front of the toilet. And all of a sudden the rug moves to the left. And I try to get my balance by moving my right foot. My right foot lands in water. And so my right foot goes to the right. And now I'm like doing the world's slowest fall ever, trying not to wake the whole house up, bust my ass in my own bathroom. And Danielle's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'll be all right.
Did the rug move or did you think you were leaning left because you were so high?
No. The rug definitely moved.
I call bullshit.
Because my toilet supply line broke and it flooded my bathroom.
Did it?
So the rug was like on water.
Man, let me see it.
I still can't find where it's leaking. I thought I was expecting a cracked supply nut because that's fairly common. But
are they ProFlows or Vitras or what are they? No, the stools.
Oh, the stools are American standard toilets. It's not a stool issue. It was a supply line issue, but no big crack, no big flood or anything. But yeah, that was enough to put me on my ass.
Did you
Sunday night? So
you know when you fall when you're over 40, it takes like twice as long to recover.
Well, it takes twice as long to get to the ground. Apparently, I fell forever.
Have you ever? Well, I know this is completely off topic. Have you ever watched like a 50 and over soccer league?
No.
Like the old guys out there running around trying to play soccer.
Oh, hobbling around, bumping hips, and
dude, they fall down.
Yeah.
Like at the speed of smell.
Yeah.
Like they try to.
Yeah.
They got one hand out.
Get their head in front of their feet.
Yeah, and they try to hit their butt first, and then they lay down. Yeah, that's you, man. Yeah. I can see it now. Were you stark naked as well?
Oh, yeah. I was buck naked. Yeah. And so then I'm like bent over on the ground. I got to go get my cell phone flashlight and figure out where it's leaking, and I just turn the valve off. Once I realize it's after the valve, I just turn the valve off, flush the toilet, and go back to bed. I tell Danielle, I'm like, toilet's broke. Don't use it. An hour later, I hear it flush because she got up and peed. I don't hear it flush. I hear it like
the handle clunk.
And she's like, what's wrong with the toilet? I'm like, I'll tell you in the morning.
Bitch, I already told you.
Yeah.
Do you remember? So, no, I was asleep. I'm high as well.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that was the weekend. Pretty fun weekend. So, and then Riley Green pulled off one of the most epic marketing moves I've seen in a minute.
I'll be the judge of that.
I don't say epic. Just like, okay. I see what you did there.
I see. I see what you did
so
there.
I wanted
Mitch's
to take
sex moves. I see what you did there.
Yeah. I could do that. Me sitting on my couch overweight with a bowl of Cheetos on my belly.
You're not overweight.
Like knocking the NFL guy who couldn't catch the 40-yard pass.
Yeah.
Like, what are
Those
you doing?
Are the worst. Those are the worst.
No, I wanted to take Danielle to a Riley Green concert, so I check and see if he's coming anywhere near Kansas City, and the closest he was coming is Ridgedale. And so I'm like, all right, well, we'll make a weekend trip out of it. So we go down there and do the thing, right? Monday, yesterday, he announces, hey, opening up some more concert dates.
Yeah.
He's got a concert date in KC and a concert date in St. Louis. Ridgedale is only 3 hours from both places.
Yeah. He's
And so he got smart and was like, hey, before I drop the KC and STL dates, I'm going to hold the Ridgedale concert because almost everybody from the concert was either from Kansas City, St. Louis, or Arkansas.
Or Springfield.
Or Springfield.
Wichita.
Probably Wichita. Yeah.
Wichita. Joplin.
But
Jefferson City.
They all traveled from far away to come to Ridgedale because that was the closest spot. And so he waited until after that to drop the other two. I'm like, I see what you did there.
They do that a lot.
Yeah.
Mostly bigger acts do that.
Well, now he's coming to Sprint Center.
And let's be honest, that's not Riley Green. That's his marketing
team. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, now he's coming to Sprint Center. So those tickets went on sale today.
I love.
And you know I got them because.
Because you're an enabler?
Yeah.
We all know you're an enabler.
Hey, if she's going to ogle over somebody, I'm going to let her ogle over a guy she ain't ever going to get.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You two are so weird.
We are.
You two are very, very,
very weird.
I love seeing live music.
Yep.
I hate seeing stuff at like Sprint Center, Kauffman, Arrowhead, It's just too, it's too big.
Yeah.
My favorite place in KC is the Midland.
Yeah. Janina, what's that, like 300 people?
Oh, it's more than that. It's probably
500 people.
Yeah. I'd say it's probably, I'd say it's 800 to 1,000 would be my guess. The Madrid's like tiny.
Yeah.
Has a little bar in the back.
I don't know what the venue is in Crown Center, but we've seen two shows there.
Well, they have the Crown Center, like, quote-unquote plaza theater. It's not the plaza, but that's what they call it.
That may be what it is.
And
it probably seats 1,000.
Shows like that are the best.
Yeah.
They are my favorite. You can see the musicianship. You can see when they suck.
Yeah.
You know,
we get back row tickets to that, or like, I think both times we sat like fourth row from the back.
Yeah.
And we were watching that. This was that like Cirque du Soleil / burlesque kind of show.
Oh yeah. That wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, a few months ago.
We saw two of those shows in the last like 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
And like even fourth row from the back, you can watch, like you can see everyone's muscle definition and you know, all of that stuff. So
yeah,
pretty cool.
It's the big stadium tours and all that. Like they're fine and they're, you know, but it's just not the same.
Yeah.
It's not as fun.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
So you want to know what we're talking about today?
Actually, I want to read you something.
Uh-oh.
No, this is completely off topic. Per usual.
Per usual.
For everyone that listens to the show, they know what I'm going to talk about. I don't know what kind of crazy text list I'm on, but I have been getting the most random, weird...
Do you reply to them?
No. And I don't reply stop because I want to keep getting them.
Oh.
I want to see what's going on.
Okay.
These are... I don't mean to be political, but these are just... I wanted to get your thought on them. So this is... This is a text I got. It's long. I'm going to read it. But this is the first part. Who is that?
That's Obama.
That's Obama. Okay. And it says, a line has been crossed and we have to stand firm and speak out and organize and mobilize as forcefully as we can. So obviously they've taken his quote and his picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they send me this text. It says, we just got chills. President Obama just warned that our democracy is at risk and called every grassroots Democrat to step up and fight. To stop Democratic donors. Oh, no. So top Democratic donors just agreed a 500% match on all contributions that come through this text.
Oh, yeah. With enough money,
Please, your donation will never have a greater impact in helping Democrats flip the House and defend our sacred democracy from Trump's vile attacks. Will you rush a 5X match $14 before midnight? And then there's a link. First, Donald Trump and Republicans stormed their way into a MAGA trifecta.
Oh, boy.
Then Barack Obama broke his silence and called on all of us to stand firm and speak out. When President Obama calls us to action, we wouldn't dare let him down. And it goes on and just lists over and over the same stuff. 500% match. If we let MAGA Republicans off the hook for their attacks on democracy, we'll regret it the rest of our lives. Blah, blah, blah. I get these all the time. The next one was from James Carville, is who they're quoting. But it's right. The same thing, right?
Yeah.
Over and over and over. With enough money, we can get what we want.
With enough money, we can stop climate change.
It's so crazy, man. I saw another deal the other day. A lady was like, you know, Trump and all these billionaire donors and this and that. And then like the lady that she was talking to was like, you mean like Zuckerberg and Taylor Swift and Soros and like the richest people
Bezos.
In America? They have the most billionaire donors
mm-hmm.
of either party,
mm-hmm.
and then they literally send out these fear tactics
yeah.
to dumb Americans
yeah.
that are brainwashed, that don't know any better.
And it's it
and
might
they
not
try
even
to
it
fear,
might be a fucking scam.
They try to run it could be a scam.
Like you don't know who that is.
But they're still trying to use fear to manipulate people
yeah. oh,
and
yeah.
give their money.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. And I know some of them are scams because they have a weird link.
Yeah.
But some of them are Act Blue. Act Blue is the big Democratic
yeah.
Party, you know,
could
line.
Be a filtered website, though.
Dude, my point is I feel bad for these dipshits that feel like they can buy their way into something. And they're like, oh, I'll give them $10.
Well, now
I'll
you
give
know,
$25.
Now you know why they're so upset when their guy loses.
Because they've given away all their money and
right.
then bitch
about being
broke. I paid
$500 for him to win.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's
like, what do you think your taxes go for? That's all the money I'm ever giving to government is taxes, and like I'm not willy-nilly and giving post-tax money to the government. They got enough of it already.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
That people will fall for that. Those don't go out if people aren't giving money.
Oh, right.
So you know they're falling for it.
But it's no different than the toll texts. Click on this link to pay your toll.
Yeah.
It's no different than the parking violation texts. It's no different than any of those, right?
It's nuts, man. Stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop. Listen, people. If you get weird texts and they're asking you to donate money.
Yeah. If you get a text with a link
off.
And they want money, never pay it.
It's crazy,
ever.
Man. It's yeah. crazy. Like all Even, of these fear, I literally have like six of those, and all they are is fear-based texts yep. to manipulate people out of money, yep. whether they're actually going for donations or scamming people.
Yep.
Stop. Come yeah. on, guys.
The
damn.
I mean, even like when I was going through all that Amex stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not like I'm going to the Amex website myself, not through their link.
Oh, of course
and,
not.
And I'm logging in, and then I'm doing all my things, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Do you need to take a work call?
Possibly.
You already fucked me out of 2.5 hours today.
2.5 hours.
That's what I call you and I say, or I text you and I say, hey, buddy, at 1 o'clock, are we doing this? And you're like, no, I'm donating blood. Can we do 1:30? Yeah, sure, man. Or two. Maybe you said two. I don't know. No, it was 1:30. Then you text me back. Yeah. Hey, by the way, I just saw somebody random on the street and I'm going to eat lunch with them.
No, it's not.
I know you're sitting at home waiting for me to fucking call you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't random. Anyway.
I feel like I haven't busted your balls in a while.
Well,
have
it has been a week.
Has been a week? Okay. Yeah. That's about where you're due.
So, today's...
What do you want to actually talk about?
Today's topic is different ways that you can create engaging content. And engaging content is not about views. Engaging content is content that serves the purpose you intended for it to serve, which might be views. However, you can have a video with a million views on it, and if you didn't make a dollar off of that video and it didn't get you any steps closer to making a dollar, the video is kind of useless because everyone's going to forget that video in 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And so then in 3 or 4 days, you're a guy that used to have a million view video that did nothing with it. Right.
Yeah.
And so engaging content is getting your ideal audience to engage with whatever you're posting. And engagement might be watching it throughout its entire duration. It might be reading the paragraph that you wrote. It might be stop scrolling and hanging out on that for a minute. It might be a share, it might be a like, it might be a comment. And those are all different forms of engagement. And again, views alone don't do squat. And so, you know, we put out content all the time, both personally and through the plumbing company, and we do it on The Void and the plumbing company YouTube channel and everything. And nobody taught us how to do any of this, but there are definitely videos that seem to do better than others. And it's tough to manufacture on the front end, but if you go back and audit all of your videos and you start realizing all the different sections that change the amount of engagement, then you can start putting all of that stuff into groups and realize like, okay, when I do this, it gets more views than when I do this. And when I do this, it gets less views than when I do this, and so on. And so I'm going to talk mostly about videos simply because videos are the most engage-worthy content out there. You can do photos and you can do pictures and things like that, but videos force engagement because they have to stop and listen to a little bit of it. And then you get a small piece of engagement right out of the gate. If they listen to like 5 seconds or more, or watch 5 seconds or more, that's already a level of engagement rather than somebody seeing the first 5 seconds and not liking what they see.
Well, it's amazing to me how fast, like when you're scrolling through things, like I can see a picture and take it in like 0.2 milliseconds.
Yeah.
And understand it all, grasp it all, and move on to the next thing.
Yep.
If it's a video though,
Yeah.
I have to stop to understand what's going on in it.
Yep.
And then make up my mind, do I want to see the rest or not?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's called like retention rate. Like how long did you retain the viewer? And
yeah.
They'll do that in like a percentage form. And some guys will cheat and they will do, and when I say cheat, it's like ethical cheating. They'll do a video where they start the video with the punchline to hook you because the punchline is typically the hook. So it was, the video starts with a punchline and then it goes through the joke or the story or whatever that gets pulled together by the punchline. And then right about the time the punchline should come out, the video stops and restarts at the beginning.
Yeah.
So you get the punchline again.
Yeah, the double over.
And and so now you got over 100% viewership.
Yeah.
And that tells the algorithm, hey, people like this video. They're watching it at 110%.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think it's very specific. And I'm trying to learn how to do this
mm-hmm.
for Void stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It that very beginning punchline almost asks a question at the same time
yep.
that could be very generic. So when it starts over, you don't even realize it started over until you're 4 seconds in.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
And then you go on to the next. But it counts as two views.
Yeah.
A full and a partial.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know it.
Yeah.
They don't even know it. Just and then you scroll on. You're like, okay, I got them.
Yep. Yeah. And that's a trick that you can do to... So engagement happens two ways. One is the algorithm is... So the algorithm is the big computer formula. In other words, there's more content on the internet than anybody could possibly view. And so the
yes.
algorithm tries to filter what it thinks will interest you. And so that's why, and your phones are listening to you 24/7. And so that's why you could be talking about new tires for your Camaro. And then now you're getting tire ads in your...
Is your advertising?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Over and over and over.
Over.
And
I think I told you this. Janine and I were literally sitting on the couch one night, and I was like some lingerie commercials came on. I was like, hey, babe, check that out. That's spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at that leather. This and that, you know. And
mm-hmm.
literally, we talked about it for 2 minutes.
Yep.
She went to work that night. She works Sunday, Monday, Tuesday nights, right? Literally on my Facebook feed, it was leather.
Oh, yeah.
Bondage.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm screenshotting it and sending it to her, and she's like, yeah, tell me your phone's not listening to you. I'm like, that's scary as shit.
So your
2 minutes.
Social media knows that you took a screenshot of that, and they count that as a share.
Yeah, I know.
And so as you're...
Yeah, I text it to her. I'm like, look at this fucking crazy shit.
Yeah, as you're doing all
she
that.
She didn't buy any of that stuff I sent her. It was way too dirty, but I mean, you know.
Yeah. There was a...
don't just say yeah.
a bikini swimsuit ad came across mine, and the models in this thing were like... smoke shows. I sent the ad to Danielle.
Oh, not good.
And she's like, I have enough swimsuits. I'm like, I didn't send that to you to suggest anything. I want that ad showing up in my feed more often. She's like, you perv.
You can just watch porn if you want. I mean,
that's dirty.
Okay, Kettle. I mean, what?
Okay, Kettle.
Just pick one. Oh my God! What the hell's the matter with you?
As we're going through a lot of this stuff, if you guys have questions for like what makes good content or anything like that, feel free to shoot us emails and ask those questions. All of our stuff is in the description of the show. I will preface this too with we recently, a month or two ago, we started a Facebook group. That's called Trading Content by Trade Wins. Trading Content by Trade Wins.
I don't know. And we've changed the name, and I can't fucking ever keep it straight.
And the idea is that a whole bunch of trade-based business owners join the group, and they all share content that's working for them so that you can get ideas and rob and duplicate and crop their logo off and put your logo on.
Yeah.
Or you can get inspired by how they did a video and you can create it or whatever.
Yeah, it's shared marketing images and videos.
Yeah.
That you can just literally pull off your phone and use.
And for the young guys that are just starting out, you can't afford a marketing agency, you can't afford anything like that, so you need to do your own content and you need to do your own marketing. And so this is kind of our way of like, it's your DIY marketing agency. You can pick and choose what you want to use and And try it out.
And for the guys that are super creative, they don't need it.
Yeah.
For those of us that are
less than creative.
Fuck.
Right.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Go on there, copy, paste.
Yeah.
Add text, done.
Yeah. Makes it real simple.
Makes it super easy. Let me ask you why we're talking about that. What do you use on your phone to do that? I've asked you before, but I don't remember.
So I have a Samsung.
I know. You're an Android person.
The Samsung Gallery itself, the video editor in the gallery, will let you edit all
that
stuff.
Let you do that stuff.
But I also have a couple of other apps that I've paid for that just give me different options.
Do they work well? Are they shitty? Do they suck?
Well, so like I just canceled one.
I know guys are thinking about it right now. They're like, oh, well, how do I take an image? And like if you're on your computer, Microsoft Designer is super easy.
Right.
You know, like literally you can take that and it gives you free AI. You can automatically circle like Smedley Plumbing off of a photo and it will digitally erase that.
Right.
And then you can add text to it through that. It does it for free and you can load it, but you can't do that on your phone.
I'm trying to look and see what.
I know. I put you on the spot. I know guys are going to want to know. It's okay.
I've got here. Give me a second.
You're
so
fine.
So you can edit videos and crop videos together in TikTok and put in words and all of that stuff. The problem is TikTok's going to put their watermark on it.
Yeah.
And when they put their watermark on it, all the other social medias, your Instagrams, your Facebooks and stuff like that, and your YouTubes, they're going to see that TikTok watermark and they're going to throttle your exposure because they don't want to be advertising for TikTok on their platform.
Yeah.
I think it's called Canva.
Oh, it is Canva. Yeah, you're right. It is Canva.
No, CapCut. CapCut's what I have.
I think Canva is...
Canva does it too.
On Apple.
I can do Canva too. But I recently got CapCut. That lets you crop a lot of videos together and put words to it. And it'll translate it. And you can put subtitles on there and all of that stuff. So if you are doing videos, make sure you put subtitles on your videos. Because most people watch at work with the sound off because they're trying not to get in trouble.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/thevoid or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
And if your video has no captions, then they're not going to get the message of your video.
Well, and not only that, people will listen to it on super low volume because they know they can get away with it, but it makes it harder to follow.
Yeah.
So if you have that transcript closed caption on there, it allows that little bit of edge of volume and the words to come together and paint a picture.
Yep. So we kind of have two different types of content that you'll put out. Some content is proactive content where you've planned it, you've rehearsed it, you've sketched it out, storyboarded it, like you've put a method to it, right? Reactive content is more as it's happening or after it happened. Okay, so like proactive content would be anytime you watch somebody make a video where they stitch two videos together and they use another video that's a great hook.
Yeah.
And then they come in fairly seamlessly. They come in and the video flips to them. And so what it would be like I've seen a video of this really, really obese chick sitting in a pool.
Okay.
And she claps her legs together and water squirts out right at the camera. And then the moment the water hits the camera, it flips to like a plumber getting a bucket of water thrown in his face. And it's like, if you've got water problems, give us a call.
If it smells like fish, it might not be the aquarium.
Yeah, right. But that's Famunda cheese. But what they've done is they've taken a hook that obviously works really well, right?
Yeah.
An obese chick in a bikini clapping her legs together and dousing the camera with water. Mm. Everyone's going to watch that for 3 seconds.
Gets me excited.
And then, then they come through. There's another one I've seen of these paramedics wheeling somebody into the ambulance and they turn too sharp and dump the guy off
the
stretcher.
There's a thousand of those. They're hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awful.
And so the video opens with this guy getting dumped off a stretcher and then it immediately flips to like a used car salesman rolling across the floor and then resting, like laying like a model almost with his hand up underneath his ear and his elbow on the floor. Like, if you're looking for a new car, give me a call. We won't send you for a ride,
oh,
you know,
my God.
Or whatever the case may be. So those are all like proactive forms of content. You've been very intentional about putting it together. Reactive forms of content would be taking photos of the work that you're already doing and posting it. In other words, you're a photo or a video of like, hey, we're out here at the Jones's house in Lee Summit. We're getting ready to dig up their sewer. Got the excavator here. The crew's hot, you know, they're ready to kick it off. And so that's like reactive content. That's kind of as it's happening, right? And then the final portion of reactive content is just following social media trends. You'll see a whole bunch of like here recently, it was those ChatGPT created action figures that everyone was sharing.
Yeah.
And so those trends come and go. They typically last 5 to 7 days and then they're gone. Those are reactive posts. Yes, they do take some planning and everything up front, but you're kind of reacting to the current trend. Yesterday.
Yeah, you're riding the wave of what's popular.
Yeah. And if you can get in on the front half of that wave, it's the best. Because at the back half, everyone's tired of seeing everyone's action figures. But the first 4 or 5 they see, they're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. To be honest, that's kind of the easiest way to get started, too.
Yeah.
Is literally just, what do you say all the time?
Rob and duplicate.
Rob and duplicate.
R&D.
That's the trading content.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason.
That's the whole purpose of that
we
group.
We started that group. Was like, literally, go on here. No people are going to rob this shit. The country's huge.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Rob it.
Yeah. I mean, pharmaceutical industries do it all the time. Like, how many more commercials of elderly people in loose-fitting clothing on a sunny, windy beach do you need before you go get your shingle shot or your toe fungus cream?
I thought you were going to say
Advil,
Viagra.
Or your Viagra. Or your plantar fasciitis medicine.
Oh, my God.
Or,
hey, want to bang a 75-year-old chick but can't do it? Take this Viagra.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather be dead, but whatever.
Does it work for 20-year-old chicks? Because I keep getting older, but they stay the same age.
If I, I mean, I'm going to be honest. At 20, do I need the Viagra? I'm not 100% sure. It's all...
No, I'm 43.
I know. My point is, I'm not 100% sure guys that are 70 can't get a boner. I'm thinking it's because they're looking at and they're like...
also 70.
I mean, if that thing was 28, maybe that thing starts working.
Yeah. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Thank you, Jesus.
But yeah, those reactive trends, those reactive trends are worth getting involved in too.
Yeah.
So
agree.
On your proactive, so the reactive stuff, you just gotta watch social media and see what's trending and go from there. But on your proactive stuff, that's where we're going to focus most of this attention, just because the reactive stuff you can't plan for. You just got to plan to catch a trend and then mimic it, is all it is.
Yeah.
But the proactive stuff you can definitely work with. And so I want to talk about some of the things that can help lead into engaging content. If I go back through and look at all the videos, short and long, that we've done that performed the best, they all have some of these attributes to them.
Well, give me some context. Do you mean what you've done on YouTube, or do you mean what you're doing on social media to drum up work for Smedley Plumbing?
Everything.
Okay.
So anything we put up on YouTube doesn't necessarily drum up work for Smedley Plumbing.
No, it doesn't.
It does. It does at an extended rate, but not directly.
Sure. And not in the short term.
Yeah, so let me pause on that for a second. The stuff that we put on YouTube, on the plumbing company, it's to gather attention. And YouTube is owned by Google, so it's also to make Google happy. If you go to Google right now, anybody listening to this show, you could go to Google right now and you could ask Google, what toilet should I buy? And then if you click on the video results...
I'm not doing it, if that's what you were wondering.
Hey, you picked up your phone, so...
I know, I'm a weirdo.
If you click on the video results, what you'll get is you'll see me in the top 3 video results. And it's got me with a blue background hovering over a toilet with a whole bunch of junk in it. And essentially, we went to Home Depot and we tested the best and the worst and compared them. But that video was very intentional and very, very proactive. I wanted a video to qualify under the search term, what toilet should I buy? And we succeeded with that. Other ways you can do it, again, the same idea to see kind of how we do the YouTube play, is you'll see another video for like, do I need a thermal expansion tank? Or what water heater should I buy? And all of those were very calculated plots. Yeah, thought out and calculated plots and titles and thumbnails and everything so that we could gain Google attention, right?
Yeah, they're good too.
Yeah, they're good videos. They're really good videos. And so those are your long form videos on YouTube. Long form is going to be more entertainment. Long form is going to give you some dollars in ad revenue once you get enough subscribers and things like that. Short form is not going to earn you advertising revenue from the platform, but short form will earn you customers.
Yeah.
And so people that are doing short form content will often get customers out of it and not ad revenue. And so short form content, we do it here on The Void. We'll chop up conversations that we have on this show and we put it out in short form, and it's to gain attention. It's to expand our audience, right?
So get people to laugh for a few minutes.
Yeah. And just being real, like not a lot of people watch podcasts on YouTube. And so like 4 months ago, 5 months ago, we had less than 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. We only had like 500 subscribers, and it's just YouTube is not a podcast platform, right? Well, we released one video, and it's the video about my wife's Jeep getting stolen.
Yeah. Well, I checked it today. It's at 7.8.
Yeah, 7.8 million views in like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And that video alone has gained us like 15,000 subscribers.
We're at 14,000 and some change.
Yeah, okay. So 14,000 subs from largely that one short. And so that short was very intentional and served a purpose, and the purpose was to get our subscriber count up. And get more eyes on the channel, right? And the more subscribers we have.
Still not getting paid.
No.
It's so crazy. 3 years, still no YouTube money.
I managed to get monetized on YouTube and the plumbing channel in 9 months. We've been doing this podcast for the exact same amount of time, and we're still not monetized.
I can hear comments on the shorts now. It's because you guys fucking suck.
Probably.
I don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
But like, to your short form content, like on Facebook and stuff like that. You know, we had the event, our last event in March 1st, and it was on content and how to use it for marketing and this and that and blah, blah, blah. Like, just for example, Tristan Lands, one of our guys, Tennessee's Choice Plumbing. Did you see his post? Maybe it was yesterday. He's in the van with his female plumber.
Interviewing.
And he's just interviewing her.
Yep.
I don't know if he's holding a GoPro or maybe it's just his phone and he's got a little mic and he's just asking her questions.
Yep.
Like that is an engagement in your community. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, oh yeah, Tennessee's Choice Plumbing.
Right.
And it keeps his brand top of mind for when people do need plumbing.
Yeah.
You know, when they need service, they're like, oh yeah, that's Tristan from blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
Like he's taken the event and run with it.
Yeah.
I think more than anyone. But a lot of those guys are doing that, and that's what you're talking about,
is
how to be engaged in your community to keep people, you know, knowing who you are.
Yeah.
I guess.
And so when you're on that proactive content, you need to be fairly consistent with the amount of content you're putting out. You don't want to just stop putting out content. Your viewership will wane dramatically. Proof of concept in that. And all platforms do this. We have not uploaded a full-length YouTube video since the first of the year. It's almost May 1st.
You mean Smedley?
On Smedley, yes.
Motherfucker, I'm loading up shit every week. What are you what are you talking about?
And our overall viewership is down. It's trending down because the platforms will reward the content creator for being consistent and putting out fresh content.
Yeah.
Now, I could let that drop almost to zero and then go start putting out some, all the other videos are still there, right?
Yeah.
I could go put out some other videos and then the matriculation of viewers starts watching one and then goes to another and goes to another and all of a sudden everything livens right back up, right? But being fairly consistent with your content, and that's why you'll see a lot of people do some theme related content like Motivational Monday and Wagon Wednesday and, you know, Throwback Thursday and things like that.
Yeah.
And so that gives them a little bit of a schedule or a little bit of a regimen for like, you know, oh, this would be a great Throwback Thursday post.
Yeah.
And like I was having a conversation yesterday with my marketing agency, and the subject came up about like how long I've been in front of a camera for anything plumbing. And I'm like, man, I've still got the video from like 10 years ago when I was on the local news, and they did a whole special on us for sump pumps.
I remember that.
And they were like, oh, that would make an awesome Throwback Thursday post. And it's like, well, it's not Thursday, so you don't burn the content early. You just schedule it. You put it together. You think about it, plan it out, and schedule it. So, but your Motivational Mondays and all of those kinds of things, you can schedule all of those posts. You can create it at 2 a.m. and then schedule it to release when you want. Since we're talking about scheduling and timing, avoid posting anything before 7 a.m. and avoid posting anything after 9 p.m. And the reason I say that is
people are asleep.
And part of the reason videos go viral is the timing at which they were posted. And so what happens when you do anything? And I encourage people listening to this to test my theory here. If you're listening to this and you have Facebook, go into your menu and find your memories. And it's going to show you every post from this day in the prior years. Find the most reacted post you have from the prior years. And go to that post and put a comment on there like, oh, wow, this is still just as cool today as it was 5 years ago. Or... Yeah. If you haven't reacted to all the comments that were on your post, go through and like or heart or laugh at the comments.
Fire back up, baby.
Reply to a couple of them. And that's called the 30-second restart rule. That restarts that post as if it's its own original post. So like the last time I did this, remember when we were doing a podcast and my son had a friend over and they found a pocket pussy in the creek?
First off, we just talked about the pocket pussy last episode.
Okay. Cool.
We have talked about that stupid pocket pussy on this show like 5 episodes. Yeah.
But
let that fucking thing die.
Obviously, that post did well just because of the content we were given, right?
Yeah.
You can't script that.
Yeah.
But,
of course not. If you could, you're a fucked up individual.
Yeah. But that was 2 years ago, and it came up in my memories. And so I just put a comment on there that said, this is every bit as funny today as it was 2 years ago. And next thing you know, for the entire day, my phone was blowing up with new likes and new comments and new reactions.
Oh my God, give Mitch back his pocket pussy already.
Yeah, and because the date is the same, it's just the year is different. That was 2023.
Yeah, people,
Most people don't know that it's not, they're like, dude, your kid found another one, you know, because they remember it from years ago.
Yeah.
And so, but that's the cool part once you kind of understand how social media algorithms work.
I understand how they work and I still can't figure it out.
Yeah. But essentially post while people are awake. And, if you have professional mode, it may tell you when your most engaging times are. I don't have professional mode on Facebook, so I can't tell you that.
You don't?
I'm not allowed to. Facebook won't give it to me. I don't know why. It's a 3-year battle at this point and I still don't have it.
That's so weird.
I think I know why. I think they won't tell me why. 3 years ago, when Russia invaded Ukraine, I shared a picture of Vladimir Putin that was made of tiny vagina photos. And it just said, zoom in. And it was nothing but vaginas that when you zoomed out, it made his picture.
That is 100% why they won't let you. You can't do that and be a quote unquote professional.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck this guy.
Yeah. And so Facebook even warned me. They're like, we feel like this is going to go against our standards. Are you sure you want to post this? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I do.
Fuck yeah.
So I post it and immediately I get stricken. And it's like, we removed this and this is your warning. And so I screenshotted it. I thought maybe they knew the metadata of the photo or something. So I screenshotted it thinking that would like scrub the metadata, and it didn't. And so I posted it again 5 minutes later, and then I got like a 7-day ban on Facebook.
Okay. And that makes a lot more sense. Like, you know what? Thank you for giving me some short material.
Yeah. So then from that point on, I tried getting professional mode and they wouldn't ever let me have it. And then you could like go into your account status and I see the strike on my account for that. Well, that falls off after a year.
It's still
there. And so it falls off. No, my account's like clean as a whistle.
Still can't get it.
And they still won't give me professional mode.
They'll let you pay for that stupid blue check.
Yeah. But yeah, let me do that. Have
professional mode.
Yeah.
That's freaking but hilarious, dude.
That blue check keeps people from spoofing my account. You ever have friends that are like, oh, somebody made a fake account with my picture and name on it? That doesn't happen with me because I have the blue check. So.
I mean, I see that happen to other people. No one wants to spoof my account.
Yeah, they'll do it when they think that they can get something out of it.
Yeah, they're not getting anything out of it.
When I already get the trolls and my the bots and the trolls in my comments.
I am very intentional with who I engage with.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know if I could just be dodging bullets. I don't know.
Yeah.
How much is the stupid blue check?
It's $15 a month.
$15 a month?
Mm-hmm. It's a business expense for us. Like, we write it off as a business expense, and it's part of internet security, social media security. Because the last thing I want is somebody making a fake account of mine and then sharing some Smedley Plumbing thing, like, all water heaters half off today. And then now we're in, like, some hot water and...
You're completely taking my disgruntled nature out of context.
Yeah.
It makes me mad that they're charging people $15.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
So it'll make people mad if they... So gone are the days... The blue check used to be a status thing. If you had enough following or you were a celebrity or something like that, right?
It's a fucking money grab thing.
Oh, totally.
You can't...
1,000%.
You're telling me you can't do it for $5?
They made $3 billion day one selling blue checks.
That's why I'm mad.
Yeah.
And that's why I will not...
Yeah.
God, man, fuck those people.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe it's envy. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I only have it on Facebook. I don't have it on Instagram because I don't do a lot on Instagram. So.
I don't either. And man, I'll go on Instagram and I will automatically go to Reels. I don't watch any of my friends' shit. Their shit's boring as fuck.
Yeah.
But the Reels, like watching people die.
Yeah.
Like I watch that stuff.
Yeah.
It's creepy as shit.
Dude, how do you not know that train was coming?
Yeah. I just, you know, people getting shot.
Yeah.
I watch those.
So on your,
videos, I watch those.
On your proactive content. You want to examine, like, who is your ideal audience? Who do I want to see this, right? Again, we don't want views. I would much rather have 1,000 views from the most ideal client ever than 1,000,000 views from people who I have no clue who they are.
Well, it depends on what you're doing, what you were saying earlier. And not to just keep bringing up Tristan, but, like, his are very intentional with promoting his plumbing company to get service calls.
Yeah.
To stay... For people to be aware of him in his community.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. It doesn't matter. If he gets 1,000 views and gets 25 service calls, he's a happy sumbitch.
Yeah.
You know, you're the same with Smedley.
Yeah.
But if your goal is to become a expert in your area with water heaters.
Yeah.
Your water heater video, you want views.
Yeah.
So that view count is extremely high.
Yep.
So that when you have you're in someone's home and you know, you can tell they're kind of wishy-washy back and forth. They're thinking about going to Home Depot. You can say, you know what? You can show them that video.
Yeah.
And that view count immediately, and then they can watch that. That's different.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the other part of this is your content, if done correctly, will establish you as an authority in your section of the marketplace.
Yeah.
And so that was another reason we did big YouTube videos and everything else. Is because I
get reamed a lot for taking the show off the rails, but
no, I'm not taking it off the rails. I'm gonna sort our content by views. Views more than 500,000 apply. Okay, so
I'm up on Jeopardy, bitch.
I don't have 1,000,000 view video on YouTube on the plumbing channel, but I've got one with 698,000 views, and I've got one with 691,000 views.
Okay.
And the video with 698,000 views was posted a year ago. 691 was posted 2 years ago. Those videos, one of them has 9,000 reactions and 2,600 comments. The other one has 15,000 reactions and 2,600 comments. And so those videos, yes, I do make money on those videos. The one that I posted a year ago, let's see how long ago it was.
It was probably more than a year ago.
It was published April 5th, 2024, so right at a year ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It was so much longer than that.
Let me go to analytics just so you guys see like how this works. So 698,700 views. It's been watched for a total of 106,000 hours. It's gained me 2,800 subscribers, and it's paid me $8,000.
How many subscribers you got?
21,000, nice. I think. So that one's paid me $8,000 in revenue. Okay.
Okay.
Now, that's one of my best performing videos. That's probably the best performing video, actually. It is.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to act
love
like
people are like, oh, you made $8,000 off that. Well, he also paid a videographer, two different videographers for 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a money making
right
deal.
So here's the other video that's 2 years old that has a very similar view count. Okay. It's gained me 7,000 subscribers, and it's made me $6,500 in revenue. Okay.
What?
So speed at which you get views changes your revenue number, because that's 6,500 over 2 years, and yeah, the other one's 8,000 over 1 year.
Yeah.
Very similar views. But those videos, I didn't care about being monetized on those. I didn't care about anything. We were very intentional when we created those videos because we wanted them to establish us as the brand authority. And so in one video, it's called What Water Heater Should I Buy? We went to a box store and a pro-grade store, and we bought an A. O. Smith water heater from each. And then we tore them down and weighed everything and compared them. And then we pressurized them up until they popped. And it was like, let's see which is better, right?
Yeah.
And we already know the box stores are inferior to the pro-grades, but it was like, let's figure out why.
Yeah.
And so that was the purpose of that video. The other video is like, and I'm not patting myself on the back, the reason it did well is it's probably the best explanation of thermal expansion in existence.
Yeah.
And so, that was by design. I remember Austin and I had about 16 hours of meeting before we even wrote that video, because it was two full days of us strategizing what we want to do and what we don't want to do and the message we want to get across and the client we wanted to reach and everything.
I love Austin. 16 hours.
Oh yeah.
I love him. He's a good dude. He still comes to my house, buys chicken eggs. I love me some Austin.
Yeah.
Whew.
That was a long time.
I don't know if I could do that with you, man.
What's funny is that other video that's paid me $6,500.
Hey, what about the toilet video?
It was filmed in my... It doesn't have... I just searched those by over 500,000 views.
So less than that.
Let me change that. And
yeah,
I'll,
let me see.
I'll
I'm
do
curious.
300,000.
That one was the most entertaining, I thought.
Toilet video doesn't even have 300,000 views.
Damn.
We get into 300,000 views, and we got a short for how to reset your water heater.
Okay.
And then we have another video for how to diagnose a bad water heater element. Let's knock that down to 2,000 views. 200,000.
I've really thought about doing some HVAC videos.
It's
man,
still
I really
there.
Don't want to get sued that, by someone getting electrocuted. How do you check a capacitor? Put your ohm meter on here. Oh, I forgot to tell you to turn the fucking power off.
So the toilet video only has 145,000 views. So it's not as viewed.
It's the best one, I think.
Yeah. But yeah,
plumbers are watching your other ones.
If I search for videos over 100,000 views, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got 7 of them.
Nice.
On the plumbing channel. So... but ultimately, those were all very intentional. Like that thermal expansion video.
That's a good video.
We were like, I want this to apply to homeowners that are wondering why their plumber is telling them you needed an expansion tank. All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show. I want it to apply to plumbing students that are trying to learn plumbing and figure it out.
Or techs that are too stupid and think, oh, expansion.
Right.
No, it's important, man.
That's student in my category, like, because we're always learning. But then I also wanted it to apply to plumbing instructors. It was literally a goal of mine to get messages that this video is awesome. I just literally put it in and press play and let the class watch it.
Yeah.
And that's happened. I've gotten so many messages from students in class that are like, oh my gosh, I follow you on Facebook and this instructor just played one of your YouTube videos.
that dude saw it and he was like, whoa, fucking a class off. Thank you, Mitch. And play.
But those videos weren't for money. Those videos were for view counts and brand authority. And the reason why is just like what you said. If somebody's on a community page and they ask a question about a toilet or a water heater or anything, not like typically what happens in those community pages is it's just an onslaught of people tagging themselves or their plumber or their friend or somebody, right? And I do a little bit different with those. I always put a very clever photo that has to do with what they're asking about. So if they're asking about a hose bib, who do I know that's a plumber that can replace a hose bib? I've got a photo with our logo on it of a hose bib I installed.
Yeah.
And it's nice, professional looking. And so then I'll tag my name and number, but I've also got a photo that aligns with their request.
Yeah.
If they're asking about a flooded basement, I got a photo for that. If they're asking about a water heater, I got a photo for that. Like I have photos for all the different things they could be asking about, right?
Yeah.
And so, but if they're asking about something I have a YouTube video on, I will usually, and especially if I feel they're kind of DIY-ish, if they've got comments up there of like, looking for a handyman, somebody that won't break the bank, anybody do this on the side, anything like that, I know that that's not my ideal customer.
No, but people that see it
but
might be
your ideal customer. But the 60 to 100,000 people in that group might be.
Yeah.
And so I'll comment on there and I'll say, we can handle this at Smedley Plumbing, but if you're trying to do it yourself, here's a video that we made that shows you how that works.
Yeah.
And so now I've got a YouTube link on a Facebook group to my YouTube channel, and that anybody else, because half the people in those Facebook groups are trollers and lurkers. They don't post.
Yeah.
And if I'm on a group and I need a roofer, I might not post that I need a roofer. I might just search the group for roofers and then get one off of somebody else's post, right?
Yeah.
And so
that's what I do.
Yeah. And so now I instantly put myself as a brand authority over and above anybody else being tagged there that like, wow, this guy's got a video that pertains to the question I asked. And it's not like the video's got 14 views.
No, it's got a fuck ton.
600,000 views. Yeah. Like this guy must know what he's talking about. Right? Now, that does two things. That builds your credibility with worthwhile clients. It also helps shed away non-worthwhile clients. That piss poor customer, and I'm not dogging on them, and they're just there. The customers that have no money and can't afford to pay a professional and all of that stuff, that when they see a video of that quality come through.
No, you're filtering out your.
They're going to be like, oh, those guys are fancy. I can't afford those guys.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Like I didn't do it to necessarily gain that customer that made the post. I did it to look good to the community and establish myself as an authority. Other things that you have to consider when you're doing this is most of your audience is female. There's a lot of single moms out there that are having to buy plumbers.
Yep.
There's a lot of stay-at-home moms. There's a lot of work-from-home moms. There's a lot of women that run the finances in the house.
Yeah, we've talked about it a billion times on this show. You are selling to women.
Yeah.
Just if you take it, every sales call is if I'm selling to a woman, this is what I've got to do.
Yep.
You'll just make more sales. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. So you want to try to you want to try to make the video appealing to a woman. And so that's going to be like.
They got the purses and the money, baby.
You're going to talk a little quieter. You're not going to be as rough and abrasive, right? You're going to be a little bit more pleasant. You're going to soften your eyes a little bit when you talk into the camera. And I'm not being pervy. I'm just, you don't want to be into the camera, right?
It made me laugh. You looked me in the eye and I was like, oh my God, creeper.
My hands were above the table, Dave.
Hey, whatever.
But yeah, you want to soften your eyes. You want to soften your tone a little bit and you want to kind of talk to the camera as if you're talking to like your mom. But that's if you like your mom. If you don't like your mom, don't do that.
If you don't like your mom, stop it.
Yeah. Keeping in mind that your audience is female, so you don't want the like. I will say this: if you are a very attractive man, you could play on that a little bit, but you still got to be careful there.
Yeah.
You still got to be really, really careful there.
Yeah, you can't come over the top.
Yeah, you do. You definitely don't want to go over the top.
You know, what a lot of guys do is they get too technical and over the top and mm-hmm. too into the weeds. Because let's be honest, you're into that stuff. I'm into that stuff. The guys in our group are into that stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's naturally easier for us to talk about that.
Yeah.
Like our brains just go to that. They don't give a fuck. They don't want to hear it.
They don't. Yeah, that's they don't. Not only do they not care, they don't want technical. They're not calling a plumber because, like your Google reviews, your brand presence, everything else establishes that you know the techniques.
Yes.
So when you're talking on a video, you want to be talking about the inconveniences the customer is experiencing. You don't want to talk about why, right? So my best analogy for this actually has nothing to do with plumbing. It's HVAC.
Give it to me.
Everybody thinks that when their furnace or AC breaks, they're hitting buttons on the thermostat and the thermostat's not working.
Yeah.
They always think their first thought is it's a bad thermostat.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, the worst is, well, I've cranked it down to 64 and it's only 75. Well, just because you crank it lower doesn't mean it works harder.
Right, right.
It's an on-off switch.
It just works longer. Yes. Right? But so if I was an HVAC guy and I'm trying to make content, I would say something like, did you wake up this morning and your thermostat's not working? Give us a call, right? I don't want to be like, did you wake up this morning and your house is cold and it's probably a snowdrift that got over the intake of your high efficient furnace and you need to clear this off and you need to, like,
exactly.
That's too much. That's too technical.
Yeah,
right?
don't be an over the top guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Be direct.
And so
there is a lot of regular common sense talk.
Mm-hmm.
That is what needs to take place on any video.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in super layman's terms.
Yeah.
The IQ, and this is going to sound bad, but the IQ of people watching that can be anywhere from 50 to 150.
Well,
you got to fall in the middle.
Their trade, like, you know, in sports, they talk about baseball IQ, football IQ, everything else, right?
Yeah.
You could have a very smart person, but their plumbing IQ or HVAC IQ is very poor.
Exactly.
So you have to assume that they don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And trying to, like, can you imagine if a doctor tried explaining to you how the chemical in the medicine gets, like, makes your...
Do you see this glazed look I have on my face when
right.
we're doing the podcast? It's the same look as if that doctor was telling me.
Yeah.
You have to be able to speak to things in layman's terms.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, hey, we're going to give you this medicine. It's going to make you feel better. If it doesn't in 3 days, call me.
Yes.
Boom. Done.
Done. Thanks, Doc.
Yeah.
Love you, buddy. See ya. Peace.
That certificate on the wall told me you were credible. I don't need to mansplain it, right?
Which,
by the way, for the ladies that are listening to this show, if you don't know what mansplaining is where a man explains things in great detail to a woman so that they understand
it. They know what mansplaining
is. Oh, okay.
It's men that listen to this show that don't know what mansplaining is.
I'm just giving you more short material, that's all. I told that to Danielle last night. I'm like, do you even know what mansplaining is? And she rolled her eyes, and I'm like, okay, obviously not. So it's where a man over...
Dude, the other day...
She about smacked me.
Dude, the other day, we were all downstairs. I think you were in the room, and she was like, you know, Mitchell, come up, KPI this, and fucking shit. Eat this and this and that. I don't give a fuck.
She didn't care.
Just like, oh,
she just wants
man.
To be an employee.
No, she. First off, no, she doesn't.
No, she doesn't.
She wants to be fired.
She does. Yeah, yeah. I know. She's been on a performance improvement plan for like 9 months.
She's been on a performance improvement plan since you guys got married.
Yeah. One of us has, anyway.
I love you guys. You're crazy as hell.
We talked about an actor a long time ago.
Oh, man.
Short, whitish, reddish hair. Bill Burr, maybe?
Bald now.
Bald now.
Love Bill Burr.
Okay.
I loved it until he started talking shit on my man Trump.
Oh, I don't
Fuck
know.
You,
I don't
Bill
even
Burr.
Know his political
affiliation. I hope someone hears this and somehow he sees it. Bill Burr, I will fight you in the street, buddy. Fuck you, dude.
He was being interviewed by some late night TV
He's
show host, and they were like, how's your marriage going? And he was like, well, it's good. I mean, I don't get this part. We're always working on me, but apparently she's been perfect our entire marriage.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get,
you know. Trying to work on me.
Yeah.
We're trying to work on me.
We are trying
me.
To work on me.
Yeah.
That's like when the wife says, hey, you remember when I was pregnant and you liked to walk around and told everybody we were pregnant? And you remember when, like, I had the baby and you told everybody we had a baby? And the husband's like, yeah. And the wife goes, okay, well, we just hit a curb.
I don't, dude. Did you see your wife's post yesterday? It's funny you say that.
Which one?
She was like, it was something about.
Oh, the whole must be nice.
Oh yeah, must
get
be nice.
Get your shit together.
Yeah, and she was like, "Well, we work hard for our stuff." Must and I, the whole time, I don't.
Is this like when we had a kid?
She doesn't like this. And I love Danielle. She's one of my greatest friends. I've known her for 20 years. I'm like, we get done with the podcast and she's asleep at 3:30 in the afternoon. I'm like, we? Like, yeah. Okay. We had a baby.
We work and one of us works hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I didn't post anything. I was like, don't do it. Nope.
Hold back.
Nope. And so I didn't.
Next time you screenshot it and text it to her and be like, we?
No. I want no part of that.
You wouldn't today. She's on a...
She was feisty down
she
there.
She is feisty today.
I don't want any part of that.
Yeah. Spencer came over today, and he was only here for like 2 minutes, and he's like, I'm getting out of here. I can tell something's not right.
Oh, yeah. This bitch is fucking crazy.
Yeah, she mad.
Which is crazy. You just took her out of town for the weekend. It's Tuesday. She should be in a great mood.
He would think. Yeah. Anyway. On the proactive content, back...
Did I do that or did you do that?
Both of us.
Okay.
So
Continue, we've got
female audience as your most viewing audience, the person you're trying to win the trust over.
Yeah.
And let's just face it, most men you can't win their trust over. So
no,
like,
they don't trust you automatically.
Yeah.
Because you're better at them at a trade.
Yeah. And so another thing you can do in your engagement worthy content is you can make very bold statements. But then only provide half the facts to support your statement. And this takes some time to do. This has taken me a couple of years to figure out how to do well. But essentially, the bold statement,
I'm intrigued.
What? Let's say I'm holding up a toilet chlorine tab. I'm gonna strategize a video right here on the show. I'd hold up a toilet chlorine
train
tab,
wreck incoming,
and I would start the video with like, did you know this could cause $10,000 in damage? And that's the bold statement, right?
Oh, okay.
And
you're trying
and
to
then,
manufacture a hook.
Yes, you're trying to manufacture a hook. You're starting the video with a bold statement, and you're starting the video with a common thing that's likely in a lot of people's homes. And so then the rest of your video would support your bold statement, but it wouldn't be all the facts. Chlorine damages metal parts and it weakens plastic. What's inside your toilet tank? Metal and plastic. Don't put them in there. Done, right? You just leave it at that.
Man, they do eat those flappers.
You're not going to talk about how it waffles up a flapper and deteriorates it. You're not going to talk about how some houses have had chlorine tabs in their toilets for 40 years and never had a problem or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
In other words, you're not giving all the facts. You're only giving a few facts that support your bold statement. And that's intentional. The reason that's intentional is because you're creating an opportunity for disagreement and discussion in the engagement. You're going to get people that are like, I call these people well actuallys. It's a whole group of people that show up in your video just to disagree with you.
Yeah.
And
it's like a mild form of a Karen.
Yeah. And so you'll have the well actually show up and be like, well, actually, my grandma's had those in her toilet for 40 years and never had a problem.
And
cool.
That's
engagement.
You first off, when those come in, do not argue with them.
No.
Post and ghost, dog.
Post and ghost.
Let the other people get engaged, because the next time someone else engages, the algorithm starts. The next time, the next time, the next time, the next time. Next thing you know, there's 37 comments, and then there were 200 trolls just looking and seeing what was going on. I shouldn't say trolls. They were just lurkers, seeing what's going on. Oh, man, I wonder if this is my problem. I wonder if I shouldn't, you know what? Man, they look in the back of their tank. All their parts are, it's disgusting and nasty and black and everything else. And they're like, man, I better call a plumber and have this tank rebuilt.
Right.
Next thing you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the comments in the engagement, or the engagement that comes from comments is pretty wild. So we did a short form video that we released like just last week. And the video, the hook was, and it's not even that great of a video. The hook was, you wouldn't trust a tattoo artist that's never practiced on human skin, so why trust a plumber that doesn't have experience either?
Yeah.
And then we talked about our 10,000 hour guarantee, where we guarantee that any of our plumbers have 5 years of experience or more, and nobody else does that. And there were comments from like pro union guys that were talking about like the education that you get in the union, and you're not a master until you've got the education and the experience and all this stuff. And I could get into like an argument with them, a union, non-union argument.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, I have no problems against the union.
I do.
I'm very, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's got its problems, yeah. But you'll never see me discourage or encourage somebody to join the union or not.
Well, you don't jump in because it helps build your brand because, oh man, these guys are backing him up. Oh yeah, it took this long and you got to have this many hours.
Well, yeah. Like, well, I jumped in and agreed with him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, exactly. It's that kind of knowledge and that kind of experience that it takes to make a great plumber.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to crush unions, but the problem is, like, they 1 year of experience, they string out for five.
Yeah. Yeah. They,
that's
they
the
definitely
problem.
Slow play it for sure. And their political influence is too strong. We have.
Yeah. You should never try to sway someone's vote
right.
because of their job opportunity.
Right.
Like, you can't, man, I don't want to get on a whole tear here. You can't do that as a pastor.
Right.
Even though there's separation of church and state, you cannot preach from the pulpit. You got to vote Republican or you got to vote Democrat.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be able to do it from the fucking union either.
I've left a church that did that.
It's bullshit.
So, yeah.
It's fucking horseshit.
But providing a bold statement and then only leaving half the facts creates opportunities for people to discuss. That's Danielle's car.
No, I thought I parked in your driveway. Oh. I'm sorry.
No, that might be my neighbor's motorcycle.
I parked in the street today.
And your truck's not loud anymore.
No, it's not. No, I thought they were trying to move, maybe.
Oh.
I'm sorry, because Mason came in here and... sorry.
Yeah.
I had a little panic streak hit me there.
A great example of that is the viral reel that we have here on The Void talking about my wife's Jeep. You know, that was a 45-minute story condensed down to a 3-minute YouTube short.
Yeah, and it was only like two clips, too.
Yeah, and obviously... most of the facts have to get left out, right? But it created just enough of a gray area for people to be like, how do you know it was your Jeep? Because we didn't really clarify that in the short. We do clarify it in the long video.
Yeah.
And then they're like, how do you know they stole it? And just all of these things,
creating just enough natural tension or gray area where people will assume certain things on either side, regardless of what has happened, creates a lot of future engagement or interaction between people watching it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That is one thing that neither one of us has been able to really grasp.
Well,
when it comes to the just trying to get views part of, like, for the podcast, for example.
Right.
But that, like, let's be honest, that's not what we're talking about here.
Right. I'm going to go views again here and
Jeopardy theme's over.
Okay, so give me the details here. What do we got? What do we got?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
So 7.8 million views, 13,000 subscribers, no revenue. It's not going to give me comments. It's not going to tell me how many comments are on it.
There are
16,000 comments.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
I've replied to every single one of them.
Have you really?
Yes. But
no comment about you commenting. How about that?
The reason I was looking at that up is because over half of the comments agree with it, and they're kind of like cop bashing people. And that video was bashing the KCMO PD.
It's not bashing it a little bit.
It's bashing the dispatcher more than the PD.
Yeah, not the cops. I love cops. Fuck Mitch.
Yeah. No, I love cops too.
You've had a lot of bad interactions.
I've had some interactions with him lately, but I hold him accountable, and it all works.
You get why black people are so mad?
No.
Bad interactions with cops?
Well, my interactions haven't been bad.
You've had some bad ones.
I mean, I had a bad one with that dispatcher,
You had a bad one at Easter weekend. You had a bad one at Chiefs Stadium.
One was bad. Those were off-duty cops, though. That's a little different. They weren't. They're in their KCPD uniform, but they're pretty sure they're off duty.
You know what? Well, let's not get into that. Because
probably the worst interaction I had with them.
Yeah,
the guy threatened to arrest me for yelling at him. He was telling me to turn around and drive the wrong way into a dead end. And I'm like, no, I have to leave this way. And he's like, you're going to do what I say. And I'm like, I'm going to leave the way that I've left.
Will you say, bitch?
Yeah. And he's like, if I hear one more word from you, I'm going to arrest you. And I'm like, you're going to keep hearing words from me until I get to leave this way. And he's like, that's it. Get out of the car. And I'm like, no, I'm not getting out of the car.
Oh, my God. You're just as bad.
Yeah. Ugh. But essentially, yeah,
off the rails.
Lost my train of thought there for a second.
Here,
I know,
do you
I
see
know.
This? Okay. I love you.
But if you create just enough doubt with your videos and you don't go full geek with all the facts, you'll actually get more engagement than if you go full geek with all the facts.
Yeah, and to your point on engagement, what you were saying about you've replied to all those comments, if you're on Facebook and just making a video and blah, 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 hey, this is, and someone's on there, hey, this is cool, I'd like that, I have a question about this. Engage with every one of those comments,
yes,
to get as much length out of that exposure that you can.
Yeah, every
like,
time.
That's important. Very important.
When a video's popped up, we've all seen this where a video's popped up and it'll, like, it'll, or not a video, a post or a video or anything, and it'll tell you what time it was posted.
Yeah.
And we've all seen it where it says just now. So they posted it like within the last few minutes.
Yeah.
What, when you see it say just now, you are the sample audience. And what the social media algorithms do is they put that video out to a select group of your friends or your following. And then based off of how your friends and following engage with it, oh boy, he's empty. Based off of how they engage with it, the algorithm determines how many more people we're going to show this to.
Yeah.
And so every time somebody engages it, watches it, likes it, comments it, shares it, whatever, it's another bump in the algorithms to show it to more people.
Yeah, I try to do this. So with the Tradewinds guys, when they post something that's not in the Tradewinds group but on their personal page and it's business, I try to at least like it if I'm busy.
Yep.
If it's something engaging, I try to comment.
Yep.
I will say this. If you're in a B&I group and you become friends with all of those people because you're trying to share work, right? Mm-hmm. Try to engage with their posts.
Yeah.
When you're in those meetings, tell those people that, hey, when we all post something, we all need to engage in it so that it starts that spider web and starts to expand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you have four or five business owners that you're friends with in a certain area, tell them that.
Yeah.
Become a little nucleus of engagers for each other.
Right.
So that you can help those posts gain more traction.
Right.
It's amazing with you get 1, 2, 3 likes, 4 comments, and that thing starts to take off.
Yeah.
Who knows? Man, one more engagement, one more comment reaches one more customer, you get one more sale.
Right.
It seems petty. It seems simple. But when you do that over and over again in your B&I group, in your friend group, in your Tradewinds group, those start to compound. It's like compounding interest.
Yeah.
And you can gain some serious traction and reach seriously, sometimes 1,500, 2,500 people in your town.
Right. The other things that you can do is another way to get engagement is tagging appropriate people.
Yes.
And so because when you tag somebody, not only does my following see it, like if I tagged you in a post, your following sees it too.
Yeah.
So it broadens the reach. And I'll do that from time to time. I don't go tag heavy a ton.
I don't either because people get annoyed.
It gets a little annoying, you know, when you've tagged everything.
Like there are people that I quit tagging you in the plumbing, like Blue Springs group, because I know you don't want to fuck with that.
Yeah.
But I tag Mason for the lawn mowing.
Right.
I tag Jeremy Mercado because I know he's into junk removal when someone asks.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are specific people that I know want to be tagged for work purposes.
Right.
I will tag them.
Yeah.
I try to keep them top of mind.
Yeah. The one thing I want to close the show out with is the separation and difference between your business social media account and your personal social media account.
Yeah.
Social medias are built off of, they're funded off of ad revenue from businesses. So social media as a whole does not want businesses to get a ton of mileage out of their posts unless they're paying to boost the post and put it in front of more eyes.
Yeah.
However, the opposite is true with your personal account. Social media will actually pay you on your personal account for getting a lot of attention and keeping people on the platform longer. The general rule of social media is they want users on the platform as long as possible because the longer they're on the platform, the more ads they can put in front of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the more ad revenue they can turn because they can say, hey, look, we had this many people at this time of day for X amount. You know, that's how.
And so a lot of your most engaging content may not come from your business page. It may come from your personal page. And so make sure you're spreading that content around. Make sure you're putting it on your business page and your personal page.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, share your business post on your personal page. Every once in a while, make it a duplicate. Post the exact same words and picture and everything on both places.
Yeah.
And then I've even gone the other way where on my business page, I've shared my personal post. And those don't do very well at all.
No,
when a business
don't.
Page shares a post, it's pretty dead.
Yeah.
But I've tried all of these different things. But essentially you're out there doing this stuff every day with your social media. You're doing social media activities every day. You're just not recording it and posting it.
Yeah.
You're putting in the water heater. You show up to that 50-year-old water heater that looks like junk and it's all rusty and it looks like an old classic car.
Take a 30-second video before and a 30 after.
Yeah.
God.
Or a still picture before and after and just show them before and after, right?
Yeah.
And if you, a lot of people rush the after photo and they're like, well, I didn't have the flu on yet, but I took a photo. Well, take another one after the flu's on or leave the flu off and post it and let the engagement tell you. Like, oh, good job. You're going to kill those people because you didn't put a flu on it, you know?
I mean, yeah, so that's the gray area.
It's the gray area of engagement.
It works.
But you'll get that a ton, and it's just you doing your everyday stuff. I don't do it as much anymore because I'm not in the field as much anymore. But when I was in the field all the time, I'm all the time posting. I mean, I'd have 5 or 6 story posts a day. And it didn't take me any time at all. It's literally just snapping a photo and hitting post of my story. When I haul rubble to the dump and I've got my truck and trailer and the dump trailer and it's lifted up and piles of junk coming out of the back, like that's kind of a neat, interesting photo. So take that.
Yeah.
I took pretending
to work today.
Right.
Dumping rubble.
Right. I'm going to drag this 10 minutes of workout all day.
That's right, baby.
But other things that we do is like... I had somebody film me driving our go-kart around and I posted that and that reel got thousands of views.
Yeah.
And it's literally just a 43-year-old dude in a go-kart doing donuts in a parking lot and in a shop.
I wouldn't say adult.
So, yeah, no, I know. 43-year-old
child.
Yeah, I'll grow up one day. But ultimately, engaging content is not as difficult as a lot of people make it out to be. Keeping it simple is the best way to go.
Well, it just takes effort. You have to say, I'm going to do this, and then do it.
Yeah.
It's another discipline act.
Yeah, it's another piece of discipline, and you want to try to be making like a post a day. At least five posts a week. And that doesn't include stories and reels and videos and everything else. We're talking just static posts because I can't shop with you unless I know who you are. And social media is the freest form of advertisement you have.
Yes.
And so, we a lot of times get people like we've had Tradewinds members leave the group because they felt like it wasn't working and we're on their coaching calls and we're like, hey, when's the last time you made a social media post? Oh, it's been a while. Oh yeah. It's been since the last time we had our meeting last month.
Yeah.
So you've gone 6 weeks without making a post and you're on our call complaining that work is slow. Make a post.
Yeah.
And you make one post, work ain't going to pick up.
Yeah.
You got to make a post a day, every day for like a month.
Yeah.
And then you're going to start seeing an increase in work.
Well, and not even our guys, but like
anybody.
People that, well, I'm paying this marketing company and I'm paying them $4,500 a month and this and that, and work slow. First off, they suck.
Maybe.
Second off, you could literally be doing your own marketing via social media, save $4,500 a month, and probably be doing the same amount of work.
Maybe even more, because it's a lot more authentic when it's when it's an arm's length video, a selfie video, than it is a professional video.
And that's what, to my point before, you have to just say, I'm going to do it, be disciplined, and do it. Mm-hmm. It is your marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know how to do it. I don't do this and that, blah, blah. It's fucking the easiest thing you will ever do in business.
Yeah.
Is post on social media to grow your brand.
Right.
It is one of the most frustrating parts of the Tradewinds. I will say that. I don't dog Tradewinds a lot or the guys
in
Tradewinds.
It's frustrating for anybody in the trades.
It's very frustrating to see guys fail because they're just lazy in an area.
Well, they're used to working with their hands and power tools. And Roger Wakefield, when he was at our event, I loved what he said. Your phone and the video camera and social media is just another tool.
Yeah.
And just as excited as you were to squeeze the trigger on a pro press the first time, you need to carry that same mentality with social media.
Yeah.
It is another tool in your toolbox that helps you make money.
I think you said same enthusiasm, but you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to carry that same enthusiasm with the social media.
Yep. So, again, guys, we do have that Facebook group called Trading Content by Tradewinds. We'll have a link to... So that group is actually a paid group.
Oh, God damn it. Now you're going to make me put that on there,
yeah,
too?
We'll have a link to sign up for that group in the comments. The group is a paid group. It's only $5 a month. Or no, it's $10 a month or $60 a year is what it is.
Which makes it $5 a month.
But the reason it's paid is not for a money grab. We've lost our ass creating this group and the website links and the tracking for it and everything else.
All I'm doing is losing my ass on this stuff, and Mitch is fucking killing me.
The reason it's a paid group is because we've all seen what happens when groups get overrun by less than interested people. Bots, trolls. You get trade-specific groups that are overrun by homeowners asking questions and everything else. So if we charge a small $5 to $10 a month fee, it keeps the riffraff out of the group.
Well, and like not even that. Like I'm in some HVAC groups, like HVAC for Life, and it's like people post shit in there that has nothing to do with HVAC.
Right.
We don't let that. Like if you're in our group and you're and like it's not,
yeah,
content based.
Yeah. We'll delete it.
I'll refund your money and you're fucking down the road.
Yeah.
Like fuck those groups. They piss me off so bad.
Yeah. I left the Plumbing Mafia Facebook group.
Because all the bullshit.
They were posting political shit in there 24/7. And I don't mind political shit, but I don't want it in my plumbing group. Like,
no.
And it's not my group, but like, I don't
know.
No,
that's why you go there is to see about plumbing shit.
Right. I didn't join that group to get peppered with political crap. And so I had 245 mutual friends in that group.
Fuck yeah.
And so I made a post in there and I said, if the admins don't get this political crap under control in a week, I'm out. Like, curb the political shit. It's not political mafia. It's plumbing mafia.
Yeah, that's right? What regular Facebook's for.
And so, sure enough, they didn't have it under control in a week, and so I dipped.
Fuck them.
And I can only imagine other people were dipping too.
Oh,
so
I'm sure.
If they ever get it curbed, I'll be happy to join back in. I don't have any resentment towards them, but
it's a waste of time at that point.
The political climate is so tense right now. You shouldn't have to get it in a plumbing group.
Yeah, so, agree. Wrap us up, dude. We're like an hour and a half.
If you guys have content questions and everything else, our emails are in the description. We'll put a link to the content group in the description. You can get some ideas there. But ultimately, we are an open book, and we love to answer your all's questions. So if you have questions about content or anything else business, shoot us an email, and we'd love to answer it for you. So until next week, guys, we'll see you later.
Thanks.